Hey guys, it's Rachel Colasino. Do you have a favorite Inspired Intentions podcast? If so, please share that episode with someone that you really care about. As you know, we're trying to reach as many people as possible and change as many lives as possible. And if you do share the podcast, give us a review. It just helps us to improve. Thanks as always for listening.
Inspired Intentions podcast with Skyterra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Rachel Colasino.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Rachel.
How are you?
I'm doing well, and I have a note to actually share from one of our guests today that relates very much to our topic. And this was a guest who was in our Lose Smart program. So that's our program that lasts 4 weeks. It's a little bit more geared towards those trying to make significant changes, just, you know, mind, body, the whole gamut. And I'm sure we'll talk about that as we get into it today. And this note was really kind of touching because it is one of those common scenarios that I see in folks who are getting a little bit older, is they start to kind of lose faith in their body. They start to see kind of imbalances happen, and they're not active in the same way they used to be, or they don't believe in themselves or have the confidence that they once had. Mm. And so she kind of wrote to me at the end of her stay. She made significant progress. She was all over our program, really made strides day after day. And her note was more about her beginnings and how when she came in, she had this intimidation around just, could she do it? Was this going to be possible to change her life? And she said our team allowed her to look at fitness with new, hopeful, and confident eyes.
Wow.
And this lady was 71 years old, still trying to improve, still trying to like get back to who she wants to be. And she said in this note that she had almost resigned herself to pain and limited mobility and poor sleep for the rest of her life.
Oh.
And it's so kind of sad when you think about it, and gives me a little bit of anger because I want people to believe in themselves. And you could tell that this guest in particular, the first 2 weeks, it still wasn't there. But by the end of the 4 weeks, she had this new confidence. And she said she was intimidated at first, like I was explaining. But she said that our team had so much belief in her, like we fed confidence to her, that she felt ready to continue working on her fitness for the rest of her life. And it just really kind of relates to our topic today, because as we age, as our bodies change, it's scary for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, you know, I'm in my early 30s, not necessarily there yet, but I can relate from a standpoint of we all don't think about where our bodies are going to be at 20 years from now.
Right.
And that's what we want to talk about today, is changes are going to happen as we get older. We need to, of course, understand what those changes are physiologically in our bodies, but we also have to understand that also our mindset changes, like with activity in general. It's super clear that when you get into your 40s and 50s, you start to do less activity.
Hmm.
And so I'm hoping through our conversation today, we can really break down what will happen to folks as they get older, just naturally, and then what they can do about it.
Yeah, I really like that. And, you know, when we talk about aging, we're not just talking about, you know, starting at age 71, like the person who had written the note. These are things that you can start to do today, no matter what age you are, that will make it as you age, you're just going to feel healthier. Hopefully you'll have less pain, you'll have more mobility, and you'll be sleeping better.
That's so important too, because we just don't think about that cumulative effect. And I hear this all the time on campus when guests come in. They're like, man, I wish I had met you guys 20 years ago. and it's definitely a compliment. I take that as a compliment in that they see the value in that we're not just treating symptoms, we're going after the problem.
Yeah, that's really powerful.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in it to change lives, too.
100%.
And you're doing that.
It's exciting. Did you know on our TripAdvisor, the number one tag is life-changing?
That's great.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where do you want to start today?
I think we should start with sleep.
Sleep? Okay. So this conversation today is all around healthy aging. How do our bodies change, and then what should we do about it? So with sleep, there's three kind of core impairments that start to happen with us as we get older. Rachel, have you heard about this myth? I don't know if you've heard about this myth. Maybe you have. But I think a lot of folks think they need less sleep as they get older. Have you heard that?
I actually haven't heard that.
You haven't? Yeah, I think it's in the kind of health and wellness community where as we get older, some folks may assume they don't need as much sleep. But no matter the age we're at, the recommendation is still we want to get within that 7 to 9 hour range. What happens as we get older is we have these three core impairments, and it's a natural part of kind of the aging process where we have reduced quality and quantity of sleep. That's a tough word to say occasionally.
I know you get excited. You love your sleep topic.
I do. I do. And so that's obviously why we're starting here today. What I mean by the reduced quality and quantity is that it's tougher to obtain deep non-REM sleep. So this is usually, as we get older, it's tougher to even get to sleep is one of those problems that naturally happen. The second thing that we'll see in an aging population is the reduced sleep efficiency. What this means is that there's like fragmentation of sleep. So folks are getting up in the middle of the night, waking up randomly. One of those key components is the bladder, just kind of weakens over time. And then thirdly, this one's an interesting one where we do have some tips around this, disrupted timing of sleep. So earlier release of melatonin is what's happening in the body. And melatonin is one of those hormones that helps us get to sleep. It's a very important hormone to really create this nice regulation in our body. And yeah, as we get older, the release of it, the timing actually changes. So I don't know if you have grandparents, Rachel, or other folks who are a little bit older in your life, but oftentimes you might hear of them waking up at 4 or 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And that's just when they get up. So that's kind of what I'm talking about with the disrupted sleep timing.
I know we're going to get to recommendations, but while we're on the topic of melatonin, I know that's available as a supplement. Is that something that you would recommend?
So you want to be careful with melatonin supplementation. There's mixed feelings amongst researchers from what I've seen just in the literature. I think you should always speak with a dietitian and other individuals who can help guide you from a supplementation perspective. I have seen an older population that it may be more relevant for that population to use melatonin, but our recommendation is typically 5 milligrams or less. Anecdotally, in most cases, folks do not see the kind of impact in their sleep patterns by just supplementing melatonin. So we have a lot of guests who come to our program and have tried this before, and it typically isn't that long-term solution. But we want to be careful with kind of the dosage around it. We want to get our body naturally producing it at the right times.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just take a pill and fix everything, although it would be nice.
It would be super nice. It would solve a lot of world problems for sure.
So what I'm hearing, Jeff, is there are some things that are going to disrupt sleep as we get older. It's going to happen no matter what.
Yeah, we basically become less able to generate the amount of sleep that we used to.
Less able to fall asleep and less able to stay asleep, and then possibly we're waking up earlier.
100%.
Okay. Yep. So how can I help fix that?
So I would say for the aging population, two really big keys. And one of these keys is probably the most important across the board, no matter your age, and it's get on a sleep schedule. So no matter what, be on a sleep schedule. I see this quite a bit with our population. Is we have guests who every day has become Saturday for them because they're retired, which is awesome.
That's great.
They've earned it. However, it leads them to not being on a schedule anymore. And so they're not getting up at the same time. They're not going to bed at the same time. So that would be really the first place to start is 5 days a week. You want to be probably getting up at the most specific time. Say it's 7 a.m., whatever that looks like for you. But in the evening, you could give yourself a range of like 1 hour. So that's the first place to start no matter what is be on a schedule 5 to 6 days a week so your body knows when it should be producing melatonin specifically. The second thing I'd say with what people could do is to really think about the timing of their sunlight. So we've spoken about this in our previous sleep episode. What's interesting about the timing in an aging population for those individuals that are struggling with disrupted sleep timing. So I kind of went through the three core issues that most aging folks will see happen.
Yep.
With disrupted sleep timing, you actually want to get a lot of sunlight in the afternoon. Kind of interesting. That's a different sort of recommendation that I would give. It's not a generalized recommendation, where younger folks are a little bit earlier in the day is actually typically better. But in the afternoon, that's a nice place to get outdoors, take a 30 to 60 minute walk. And so that's going to get that circadian rhythm functioning and really talking to the pineal gland. So melatonin does the right things at the right time.
It delays the melatonin release.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
You know, it's funny. You and I were in the car the other day together, late afternoon, and it was sunny. I put the visor down, and you took your sunglasses off.
Yes. Yes. That is an important point here.
Yeah.
Make sure when you do these afternoon walks is take the sunglasses off as well, because sunglasses can actually block this process within your body. And so it's not great, even for your eyes, to wear sunglasses all the time, is we want to get that exposure. It's really important for the body.
And then that bright light, again, for older adults, as we're aging, you want it later in the day, not necessarily earlier in the day.
Later in the day, if their issue is disrupted sleep timing.
Got it.
Yeah, so that would be a nice place to start. I think that is one of the major things that folks struggle with as they get older. The second one is probably that bladder and fragmentation side of sleep.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing is it's tough to like strengthen your bladder. You can't like go to the gym and just lift some weights and get your bladder going. I actually once saw our executive producer try to do this. Anyways, we can discuss that with him on a later episode.
Figure that out.
But no, you can't. There's not much you can do from my knowledge of like strengthening your bladder besides, you know, watch the water intake late in the evening time. Another electrolyte out there, sodium, could be helpful for your bladder. That's kind of like the glue so that your body retains water. So I'm not saying, you know, you should salt your food like crazy, but that could be something you try in the evening time if you are having liquids like with, say, your dinner.
Just helps you keep the water in your body.
Yeah, which is important.
Yeah. Anything else that's important for people to know about sleep as we get older?
With sleep, be patient with it. Back to this note about that guest. This is so wild. So she actually, we've been staying in contact via text and email. And what's so cool is that when you're in the Lose Smart program, we track a lot of stuff. So we track your breakfast. We track your steps. And this little lady, she was so good about tracking. I was so impressed. Maybe the best Lose Smart tracker I've ever seen.
Ooh.
Some folks, I'm like hunting them down. Hey, I need to know what you had for breakfast.
Yeah.
And it's not more like to be restrictive or anything like that. It's to know all the variables of things going on. And so she had her Fitbit, I believe, which was tracking her sleep. And by the end of her stay, that last week, she probably hit three nights that were closer to the 7 hours.
Wow.
And this was like pretty revolutionary for her.
Oh,
she goes back home and she hit an 8 hour.
Really?
Yeah. And it takes time is the biggest thing I want to say about sleep is don't kind of like that lead note we were sharing in the beginning here is don't fall into the trap of thinking your body can't rebound.
Hmm.
Because when you give your body kind of the right information and you're patient with it, sleep is one of those things you've got to have a lot of patience with. But I've seen it translate over through a lot of examples of the work that I've done with our guests.
So give your body the right information and be patient.
Be patient. Take a few of these strategies. You could go to skyterrathome.com and we have an entire resource on sleep. So you could go through there and look at more strategies. But these are some more of the specifics around the aging population.
This is great. And of course, if you've been listening to our podcast in order, you would have heard the sleep episode that we did as well.
We hope you liked it.
An entire episode on sleep that we did in the dark.
That was cool. I enjoyed that.
The lights are on today.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
Where should we go next?
Well, maybe we should talk about the like metabolic changes that happen as folks get older. This is probably one of the most common things that I think people start to think about is that you hear this phrase, my metabolism is slowing down. And that's a tough one because there's a lot of variables to metabolism. But one I would like to talk about today, which we don't always talk about in like our core content on campus, is menopause. Have you heard of this,
I have,
Rachel?
I have.
Yeah. So with menopause, a lot of things change. Probably from a guest perspective, we get, you know, a little bit more females than we do males.
Yep.
We're getting more males as they start to hear about SkyTerra and come join us. And I think they're pleasantly surprised with the balance of what we do, which is cool. And what's interesting about menopause is hormones change. Your body's changing. And this is a natural process. Mm. This is something that, you know, sadly, we may not have the body that we exactly had when we were 20 or 30 years old.
Yeah.
And so it's important to just know that this is a natural part of aging. You know, no matter you're male or female, a lot of these factors are going to change. With females specifically, what happens postmenopausal is estrogen and progesterone, these two hormones start to go decrease mm-hmm. in the body. And so this is super important when it comes to metabolism, because essentially what's happening is lean body mass is decreasing while fat mass is kind of repositioning. What I mean by that is we typically retain more visceral fat at that time, more abdominal fat. So it's kind of the relationship that everybody's fighting against, but postmenopausal, it's going to be a natural thing that starts to happen.
It's supposed to happen that way.
Yep. Yep. It's kind of actually a protection mechanism in a way. Fat isn't necessarily bad when we have the right types of it on our body. And so that is, you know, a whole other episode of just talking about body composition potentially. The problem with estrogen, just so we're clear on this, is it's like two parts, is when estrogen lowers, it actually increases appetite. So this is really difficult when we think about managing our weight. If we've got hormones that are changing, appetite starts to increase. Well, that's going to be difficult for us to, you know, eat in a manner that's going to support our metabolism. And so with that, it's really important to stay aware that another hormone called leptin, the satiety hormone, actually secretes less in the body postmenopausal. So there's a lot going on. One other more claim to fame would be cortisol levels.
Just to take us back to leptin for one
I'm
second.
I'm so sorry. No. I love talking about hormones.
I know you do.
Okay, let's slow down. We'll go to leptin.
Leptin. So leptin is your ability to feel full.
Yes. Satiety, I think, is a tougher word, but it is that ability to feel full. And for your body to start to kind of communicate on that level that's needed. So just to break that down in a different perspective, is leptin is actually secreted from fat. That's what's interesting about this, is that that's how fat does help us, is there is some signaling. And if we don't have any like healthy fat on the body, then leptin isn't going to release at the same levels. This is what makes like weight loss difficult, is like as you lose weight, you actually may not be secreting as much leptin as you used to. Really, there's a lot of mechanisms going on that we're trying to fix.
Yeah, it's complicated. So I want to make sure that I have this right. So estrogen is lowering, so that's increasing my appetite. Mm-hmm. Then, so say I am losing fat. Fat is going to be what secretes the leptin, which is going to make me feel full if I've eaten something.
Leptin's going to help us feel full. Estrogen is increasing our appetite.
Right.
And so that's going to be kind of that relationship, a couple of different things there.
Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're with you.
You're with me. Do you want to talk about cortisol?
I sure do.
I only brought it up because I feel like people always talk about cortisol.
Yeah.
I was in the hallway and I saw our executive producer eating munchkins.
After his bladder lifts.
yeah, after his bladder lifts. And I just don't understand why he was eating the munchkins in the first place. But it must have been because his cortisol levels were high. Mm. He must have been upset with us from our last episode or something. But cortisol specifically has an important relationship in our body for a lot of reasons. Cortisol, insulin, these are kind of two hormones that get spoken about a lot. So just to take a step back, cortisol is more of that stress hormone. It's one of the main stress hormones. And what happens postmenopausal is levels increase at nighttime, which one, of course, could make it difficult to sleep. But basically, stress hormones start to fire differently in the body, where in a younger individual, cortisol is going to usually be firing in the morning time. And so it definitely can be a little bit individual, but that is the change after postmenopause.
Is that cortisol is releasing later in the day?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is what can also lead to what we were talking about earlier, visceral fat accumulation. Mm. So if cortisol is high in the evening, not so great for like the metabolism side of things and keeping our bodies where we want them.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is as we're aging, there are physiological changes that are happening in our bodies mm-hmm. that are going to happen no matter what. There's no way to change it. There's no way to prevent it.
Yeah, we just want to make sure we're doing the right things.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things you can do for your body to kind of combat this.
What are the right things to do?
Well, no rocket science here, but there are some specifics where you want to make sure you're switching things up for what your body needs at this period of time. Mm-hmm. So for instance, with physical activity, something I read recently is lots of low intensity physical activity. Actually, as we get older, we respond better to the low intensity stuff.
Hmm.
It doesn't mean you shouldn't do intense physical activity. You want to still sprinkle in a little bit of intense physical activity because there is research around that. Just from a hormonal perspective, that can be helpful. It teaches your body just to be in a different kind of wavelength. So it's giving your body a different senses. So a little bit of high intensity, a fair amount of low intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said earlier, physical activity tends to decline as we get older. And of course, that's backdoor not helping us.
Right.
From a physiological standpoint as well. Outside of that, not to, you know, hammer the fitness front, but strength training is just so important.
Yeah.
To really get your body metabolically efficient. We want to keep contracting muscles. We want to keep that metabolism up in that fashion. So with the estrogen and progesterone being less produced by the ovaries, I was explaining that you don't have as much, you start to develop less lean body mass. So what we want to do is we want to fight off that decline of body mass, of the healthy body mass, of like skeletal muscle mass specifically. So that's where strength training 2 days a week, maybe closer to 3 days a week, if you can pull it off, is going to really help you out big time as you get older.
What about nutrition?
Yeah, nutrition is an important one because our metabolism is naturally lowering. However, when folks use that phrase of like, oh, my metabolism's slow, I'm sorry. It's just like this jargon phrase that you hear in health all the time. And I don't think people truly know what they're speaking about because there's multiple components to metabolism. How I like to think about it is there is quantity metabolism and then there's like efficiency metabolism. All I sort of mean by that is we have the BMR, the basal metabolic rate, which is just the amount of calories we burn without doing anything for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that is naturally the quantity metabolism starts to lower as we get older because we lost lean body mass. All of these factors are very much in relationship here. And so you probably need to eat 100 to 200 calories less per day just to give a number because I do like to speak to the quantity, not that you should overcount your calories or be obsessive about them. But yeah, around that 200 calories or less might be appropriate depending on the person just because of those changes.
Sure.
So that's more the quantity metabolism perspective. All I mean by the efficiency of the metabolism perspective is just your body's ability to use energy changes. And that has nothing to do with how many like calories you necessarily burn. That has to do with a lot of these hormonal releases that we're talking about. Is we want this stuff to work for us and not against us.
Anything else that people can do other than what sounds like we almost prescribe all of the time, which is movement, exercise, strength training, making sure that nutritionally you're getting not only what you need, but you're getting quality, nutrient-dense foods?
100%. Yeah, the quality should be as high as you can so that you can maintain the lean body mass. And then we spoke about sleep, self-care, really trying to manage your stress is super important later in life. Our nervous systems just aren't as strong as they once were. And so, yeah, these are natural changes. Be aware of that. However, the prescription doesn't change too much from someone who's in their 20s or their 30s.
Yeah, yeah. So we've talked about sleep. We've talked about the physiological changes. What's the third big one?
You know the third big one. You have to.
It's got to be mobility.
It's got to be mobility. Mobility is a sneaky one. I think it's so sneaky. What I mean by that is I never hear 20 and 30-year-olds talking about this
no.
as much.
And I've heard you say that a lot.
Here and there. And with that, we have to be aware that our bodies accumulate the buildup of like tight fascia and just everything kind of, if we're not moving our body over our lifespan, if we haven't been in the patterns that we're trying to create from some of the suggestions we're throwing out on this podcast, then the body just gets stiff, it gets immobile. And then this is why a lot of obviously older adults have pain in their body. So it's super crucial to understand that there needs to be a deeper emphasis on taking care of your body from a mobility perspective,
right?
When you're older.
And it's never too late to start.
Never too late to start. And so to define mobility, mobility is doing anything that is going to impact your body's ability to move, anything that's going to positively impact your body's ability to move. So with this could be getting more stretching into your routine, taking yoga classes, using therapy balls like soft tissue therapy of yoga tune-ups, foam rollers, that kind of thing.
And on SkyTerraAtHome.com, we have a whole mobility library.
Mm-hmm. There's actually these videos. It looks like it's Jeff Ford, but it's actually Jimmy Neutron. You know why? Because my hair especially long.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Check out Jimmy Neutron featured live on SkyTerra at Home. But yeah, so mobility. If someone has never done any kind of mobility before, what would you tell them to do today?
Well, I think just start with 5 to 10 minutes.
5 to 10 minutes.
And there's a lot of specific stretches I would say to start with. We do simple things like just using a yoga strap to stretch your hamstrings out.
Or a belt.
Or a belt, yep. Even a band, a resistance band at a gym could work out for this. But just start stretching your hamstrings. 2 minutes per side. Hold that leg up nice and straight. Pull it as far back as you can. We have demo videos online of this.
And for this, you're on your back, lying on the ground?
On your back, yeah. And then second to that, you really could just start playing around with a therapy ball. So put the therapy ball wherever you're having pain. The deficiencies I see as people get older is knees tend to have a lot of the pain, shoulders specifically, and then of course like hips, kind of a lot of those big joint areas. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you focus on those areas of attention first, the ones that you may be experiencing stiffness and pain. Always source those things first and be very consistent with one or two techniques that are going to help.
And a therapy ball is the size smaller than a baseball?
Smaller. There's different sizes. I think folks get hung up in just doing stretching. What everyone needs to remember is holding and doing techniques for longer periods of time is better than doing techniques for short, like doing more techniques mm-hmm. for short periods of time. So I would pick your two techniques that you know are going to start to improve pain in the body and be pretty religious with sticking to cleaning up those areas.
Even just 5 to 10 minutes.
5 to 10 minutes is perfect. That's going to be really beneficial to your body.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, you know, you've mentioned that I should think about a part that feels tight or painful. Are there any other ways to evaluate what mobility needs I might have?
Yeah, so we at SkyTerra, every time a guest comes in, we do something called a functional movement screen. This is developed by Gray Cook. And so this is a whole system where we do an abbreviated version of it just because we're checking in, you know, 10 to 12 guests at a time, maybe a little bit more on a busy week. So we still have that small, intimate feel, which this is so important because we then actually send an email out to our team of like, here are the imbalances this week. So that we're aware in the classes that these mobility issues are there because we don't want to push through the pain. But in evaluating yourself, you want to maybe find a professional that could look at your range of motion. So what's going on with those hips? Do you have satisfactory range of motion or does it need improvement?
Sure.
A lot of folks as they get older will get a lot of needs improvement. Doesn't mean they're bad people.
Yeah.
It just means that we have some opportunities.
Yeah. Opportunities. I like that.
Yeah.
I recently, as you know, injured my shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And I kept thinking, even though I know what I know about mobility, I kept thinking that I needed to rest it and not move it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it started out just as a tightness, it got worse when I wasn't moving it.
That's a super good point.
And I think it's pretty common for people to think like, I have this pain, I'm going to rest it, I'm not going to use it. And of course, please be evaluated by a professional. See your mm-hmm. doctor if you have pain, which is something that I didn't do. Again, my mistake.
Nice vulnerability, Rachel.
Aw, thanks, Jeff.
I think that's so important because if you don't move, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Motion is lotion.
Wow. That's a nice pun. It goes in line with a lot of these aging-related chronic conditions that come up for folks. So what I mean is like fibromyalgia, arthritis. the prescription, and of course, consult your doctor,
yes,
is to actually really keep up with your movement. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to do too much, of course, but those are some common conditions that we start to experience as we get older. And so it's important to not kind of check out, stop moving because you are in pain. It's to start doing the things that are going to not be painful, but you want to make sure you're going to be doing things that are helping the cause versus just kind of sitting.
And Jeff, I want to just kind of go back to the beginning where we started with a note from the guest. Is that her words? Is that something common? I mean, as people come into SkyTerra and they hear the lectures and they go through some of these different things that you're recommending, do people almost always feel differently? Do they notice some changes?
Yeah, it's so common, and it's something that I'm a very confident person, so I try to push that confidence to the folks I work with, because sometimes we just need belief again.
Mm.
Sometimes we just need someone in our lives that's going to push us to take action. And a lot of folks who come through our doors, I would, you know, anecdotally say a quarter of them have stopped believing in themselves. They've stopped thinking that their body should feel a certain way or that their body could feel a certain way. And so as we reflect on that, getting close to the end of our conversation today, I think it's really important for folks to just give it a go, to not think that their body can't do it, and to know that they're also not alone in that thinking.
Hmm. That's really powerful.
Yeah.
Anything else before I give our summary?
No, I think we've done a nice kind of breakdown of, you know, sleep, metabolism, at least the spark notes, and then of course mobility. I think there's a lot of low-hanging fruit for hopefully some of what our listeners have heard today.
Yeah, let me give that low-hanging fruit.
Let's do it.
So let's start with sleep. When it comes to sleep, really important things that you can do is get on a sleep schedule. At least 5 to 6 days a week, have a certain time that you plan to wake up at and an hour range for which you're going to go to bed. With sleep, be patient. Give your body the right information. It's going to take time. When it comes to physiological changes like menopause, there are a lot of hormonal changes happening that are happening for a reason, and they are happening no matter what. But some of the things that you can do is, of course, move your body, exercise. Less intense physical activity is actually going to have a greater impact than it might have before. You want to make sure that you're also sprinkling in the intense physical activity. Strength training, of course, is always important, 2 to 3 days a week. And when it comes to your food, you might need about 200 less calories a day, and make sure that you're getting good nutrient-dense foods. Of course, sleep is super important, as is stress management. And then our third big takeaway for today would be that mobility. So, you know, our bodies accumulate tightness over time. Mobility is going to be anything that's going to positively impact your movement, stretching, yoga class, etc. Jeff's recommendations, you want to pick two areas on the body that feel tight. Spend 5 to 10 minutes stretching, either maybe with a yoga strap or a belt or some kind of therapy ball. Just looking for those areas of tension. And keep up with your movement. Super important. And I can't say it better than Jeff did, which is just believe in yourself. How'd I do, Jeff?
That was wonderful.
Yeah, this was a great one.
Thanks for the recap.
Yeah. The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.